The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
This is our SME showcase section where we interview a small, medium enterprise business leader after our skills conversation, business skills conversation, mostly in association with USB Ed. So today we are looking at a leader who's one of five finalists in the Tsoho Sun Entrepreneurs program. So in the end, they kind of appoint or they have a winner. I mean, these are all, they're all benefiting from this incredible program at Tsoho Sun. Over a year, they go through programs, coaching. It's just an amazing program. And we have someone who's no stranger. He's been in the studio before, but he's now one of the finalists, and he could end up being the winner in the next few weeks. And that is Nkobile Nkosi, NQ Jewelry Design Services. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Good afternoon to everyone.
And, of course, with me, Alison Yandu. We are today launching our Thuli Madonsela on Leadership ebook. So if you're listening in on this, get yourself a copy. It's right now, it's on Amazon.com. It's also on candidmedia.co.za website, and also on leadershipplatform.com website. One word, two P's in the middle. And of course, until the end of August, because it's Women's Month and also launch price, you can get yourself a copy at half price at this stage. So just a reminder of that. It's quite exciting. Alice and I did this together. It's our project. And a punt all the way through the day.
Yeah, and these are universal principles. So
absolutely. For SMEs.
Mobile will find something useful as he runs his enterprise.
Absolutely.
His business from there, you know.
It is for politicians, small business owners, large business owners. Doesn't matter. Mothers, totally. Fathers, any kind of leader.
Yeah, student, you know.
Yeah.
Principles.
Ordinary citizen.
Ordinary citizens.
Yeah. Audience doesn't change the principle.
Yeah. Jan Globile, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you again.
How are you feeling? I mean, you're now a finalist.
Yes.
One of the finalists. And let me tell
you. I think he's a winner. Let's just forget this finalist business. Globile is a winner.
He is, actually. And let me tell you.
An inspiration.
On Friday, there was a heavyweight panel, including Tsoho Sun's CEO. Mm-hmm. I was one of the panel members, the judges, if you can call it that. And they came in one by one, and all of us fired away with a question.
That's a little bit Dragon's Den-ish, eh?
Yeah. Well, let's ask him.
Scary.
Let's ask him if that's how he experienced it. I don't think so, but in general, we all fired away with questions, and then we rated them on their confidence and skills and or knowledge and so on. And that'll all be tallied up, and eventually there'll be a winner. So how did you feel about this process? I think it's the first year that they've done that, but more particularly, they brought in previous 3 years year winners, so those who won the last 3 years or few years back, and they are dynamic, those ladies. I think it was just three ladies. They were brilliant. You can just sense the confidence. They run their own businesses. They've gone through the program. They've moved on a few years. It's just powerful, and they sit there confidently, humbly engaging the current individuals. And they know what they feel like, of course. They've been there. How did you find the process?
It was overwhelming, but I was more relaxed. And I tried to be as natural as possible because this is what I do every day. You know, I design and manufacture jewelry, and I distribute it to, you know, retail shops.
And then you sell
it. And I sell to end users. So yeah.
I can see some marketing training has just come to the fore. Mm-hmm. You asked a question, but he's got a message he's going to give out to the listeners. So he switched your message and played back his one. Did you pick that up, Audrey?
Yeah, no, he knows what he wants to say. He's going to sell, no matter what.
Good PR training. I can see good PR training a mile away.
But Nkobile, for those who haven't heard you on the show before, just tell us again what you do. So it is jewelry?
Yes, we design and manufacture fine jewelry. We use silver, gold, platinum, palladium, gemstones, diamonds. The company started in 2007. I basically was just doing polishing then. You know, I raised my startup capital selling cakes and sweets in the streets, washing cars.
Because this was your dream to do this.
Yes. I mean, you were there during the interviews, and the one lady who asked me said, "Nkobile, what was the highlight of your career?" And it was exactly the first day I knew that I could design and make, because usually some people just design and somebody else does the manufacturing or vice versa. So when we did our training, it was 80% practical and 20% theory. So after a period of a month, I designed and manufactured a wedding band. And from that day onwards, I knew this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I've done it since then. I've been invited to the UK. I've done internships out there. We've done a fashion show with the Spring Fair at NEC in Birmingham. I've done trade shows in Hong Kong. We have products here in South Africa. We distribute them to the Big Five Duty Free Westcliff Hotel, and we've got our own retail shop at the Organic and Natural Market, which is open every Thursdays and Saturdays and public holidays.
Keep going, keep going. So tell everyone what the Tohosan CEO, myself on Alok, said. What would have been his career if he didn't end up, I don't think, being a chartered accountant? Tell
him. He wanted to be a jewelry manufacturer.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, that was something he would have liked to have done, and it's I guess it's something he's got a bit of a passion for. Then. Yeah.
It's a very
that gives it away, so it's okay. My money's on you, Nubila.
Thank you.
So, how you got into it? You told us a little bit about that, and then Richard has a few questions up his sleeve, and then I'm interested, based on the questions on Friday, just to fire a few at you, but go for Richard.
So, I mean, you've talked to us on the show before. Perhaps just a question. I mean, you've gone through a little, almost, let's call it a journey of discovery and enhancing your business over a period of time. You've been part of the Tohosan process and what they've helped you with there. What have you learned in the last, let's say the last 6 months since you were on the program last, and what have you experienced? What's contributed to making Incurred a different space right now?
Well, for me, it's about delivery. You know, we have to make realistic promises to your customers. If it's 7 days, it has to be 7 days. If it's 14 days, it's 14 days. But the biggest thing that I've learned in my industry is that I have to keep stock, which is very expensive for me as a small manufacturer. So I had to go back and redesign my existing designs so that I can maximize the material that I have. I don't know if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But for example, instead of making one necklace or one pair of earrings for 50,000 rand, I can make 10 necklaces, you know, each one maybe at the 5,000, 2,000, whatever the case may be. So that's a very, one of the main things that I have learned. And also, we tend to neglect the market and say, I just want to produce high end. Your quality and the level of design can still be high end, but you can still be able to cater for those who want to buy. Like, for example, we've got a new collection. It's silver and diamond rings. So it's the size of the diamonds, about 10 pointers. So retail price, we look at about 5,000 rand. So also that market was neglected. So I went and started designing those products as well. But without giving too much of away of our trade secrets. But yeah, we've made a lot of new discoveries, and we are implementing them slowly, slowly.
So what I'm hearing here is a better understanding of your market, a better understanding of how your market works with your business, in terms of knowing and understanding how much money you're able to tie up in your business from a working, let's call it a working capital perspective, the stock or inventory you're going to hold. And I think that's an important part, because often in business, people almost, let's call it, separate the two. They know, or they try and figure out what the market wants, and then they just almost plow into it and go, okay, well, we need to make this happen.
Yeah, because as a designer, you tend to, because remember, I'm very creative. Mm. So sometimes you get a little bit lost where you design for yourself, you see. So I learned that, no, you design what people want. People tell you what is it that they want when they visit your shop and your display. So we sort of capitalized on that. So we already had the collection in existence. It's just that we had to use different materials. Instead of maybe a diamond, we use a color gemstones. Instead of using red gold, we use silver, and we use a rose gold, plated gold. I've got a few samples here to show you of the products that we're talking about.
Just while you do that, when you look carefully at the man in the studio, I think if people were listening, they would think he probably walks in with an earring and a couple of rings on his fingers and a couple of what do you call the things around the neck, necklaces. But you actually have nothing on you.
I was going to say, I don't.
You
see
actually have nothing on you.
I see a watch.
What is?
And that's about it.
That's not even a fancy one. Doesn't even stand out like one of these massive bricks. on someone's arm. So what is your philosophy there? Are you, I don't know, are you allergic to gold or?
No, not at all. I enjoy creating more. And
More than wearing.
I mean, you can't eat your stock, you know, that's what they say back at home. You know, you can't, if you're selling fat cakes, you can't be sitting and chowing all your fat cakes. But yes, I collect watches. We also, I do wear jewelry, but I mainly collect antique watches and restore them.
Okay,
interesting. But you're not a ring guy or a necklace guy, or like you walk into the township and you just shine, you know? You're not like that.
No, you're not at all.
Fairly conservative in that sense.
Yes, I miss it.
I didn't see that. Do you have an earring on? No.
No.
Not even.
No. Not even on your nose, mama? Or is it somewhere hidden where we can't see?
No. I have one if you like to have one. I've got one. I'm sure it will sit well in your nose.
There you go.
That's a market too, yeah?
Let me just say, in Clobile, it hasn't always been easy. Okay, and it came out. I mean, you had a drop in revenue a year ago or so. Yeah. You're now recovering. Things are up and down. Tell us about that. And also, how do you mitigate the economic downward spiral?
Because the
world is difficult now, okay? Yeah. And you're feeling it. We're all feeling it. How do you work against that?
Well, I mean, we, like I said during the interview at Sosan, that we anticipated that would happen, you know, because of the Ebola, so, and also the new laws about the passports, because we're mainly on the tourist areas, you know, that's where we mostly sell.
That's where you mine.
That's where our market is, you know. So when that time came, we also used that time to develop new products and new collections. So it's not all loss, if I may put it that way. So we said, okay, if now times are tough, so then let's invest more in designing. There's nobody buying, so it's okay. So let's invest more on designing, creating new designs, send out a new list to our customers, send us new brochure to our customers, say, guys, this is a new collection we have. Are you interested? And we also started doing corporate gifts, cufflinks, tie-pins. We've done it for the State Diamond Trader. We've done it for few companies here. So during that time, you learn new things. You know, when we hit hard times, we have to think of different ways to take your business forward. So we said, okay, let's design cufflinks for corporate gifts. And we look at the events, who is having conferences. We approach them, they like the idea, and they buy.
Okay, that's fantastic.
So diversifying a little bit in terms of what you offer and the market.
Yeah, but still in what we are doing. You know, it's still jewelry, it's still luxury goods.
Do you buy and sell gold on the side? Do you buy and sell diamonds?
No, not at all. I don't buy and sell gold, but I do have a license. I do buy gold and I use it to produce jewelry. We buy finished diamonds for our clients and for us, depending on what we are working on during that time.
Okay.
As an entrepreneur, who best inspires you? You know, obviously your life story is what has driven you into this occupation, but every day, what kind of inspires you? What is your ethos in terms of, you know, getting up in the morning and getting things done? What drives you?
I would say I've been very fortunate in my life because the people I've met, especially my business partner, he came in at the right time, you know, when I was just designing products and keeping them in my safe, you know, and he said, but nobody is sitting on stock. So he taught me the business side of, he taught me my business, you know, being an attorney and just looking at it from outside. But he understood the business. We were friends for a while. He learned the business and then started advising me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I look up to him a great deal.
Do you read a lot?
Yes, I do. I enjoy also geographic, realistic TV, okay, if I put it that way. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So you're a well-rounded person. You know, I think your story is inspiring in this one major respect. You know, the government in this country always talks about beneficiation. You know, there's no mineral that's not in this country. Yet we mine it, we export it, and we buy it back at 14 times the price. So to me, you are an example of what this beneficiation talk ought to be. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I do know what you are talking about. And I often say, sometimes when I do interviews with newspapers. They say, you must be lucky, you're the only one making jewelry in the township. And I say, let me show you. And I put him on a small clip, on a small cliff. And I said, look around, you see all those mine dams? And say, yeah, I see that. And I said, I'm not happy to be the only one, because this is something that every second household, somebody would, this should be the biggest industry in the world here in Africa, but it's not. So when I went to the UK and also in other parts of the world that I've mentioned earlier, I realized that, we're just tiny. We're just tiny, tiny.
So what's holding us back? Obviously, let's put the government aside. Is it just the mindset, you know, not, you know, exposure, maybe lack of exposure? What is the biggest obstacle to having people realize that these mine dumps represent an opportunity because they speak to who we are in terms of these minerals?
I think it's education. The more people they learn and they understand about the industry. And I do play my own small part. There's an art school in Cape Town that I'm involved with.
Okay.
Where we are teaching and designing and manufacturing contemporary jewelry. So we do advise them. Because we have to look at this as a career, not just, because people fear to start a career in a art industry. They think it's not sustainable.
Something unknown. Well, are there schools where you can learn jewelry design, like, you know?
Yes, you can go to university, and you can go to the CETA. They can direct you to other schools that they fund that offer the training. Yeah.
And how good a living can one make out of this occupation?
It's entirely in your hands.
Okay.
Literally, because this is a skill with your hands.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Now, just for a moment, let's turn, and I'd like to take the conversation in the direction of the whole principle of job creation. Because, I mean, ultimately, yes, you're the entrepreneur, but now, you know, we talk about small businesses being the heart of our economy. How many people do you employ?
I've got 3 part-time, and I've got 2 interns and people living with disability.
Okay, so you've got 2 interns, both with disabilities, that work with you. Now, just to the earlier conversation that we were having with Kuma, how many of those are women?
Out of the 3, 1 is a woman.
Yes. 1 is a woman.
Yes.
Okay, now that's that's interesting. Yeah. Now,
is that 50%?
No.
What is that?
That's a third. And it's last time I was at school, 1 out of 3 is a third.
No, just checking.
Things have changed in the education system.
Yeah, you never know. Outcome based. Okay. Now, you've got 1 lady out of the team of 3. How does she fare relative to her male counterparts? Because this is an artistic world of creation. How does she stack up against the male parts of the team?
I mean, she's a very extraordinary young lady, Kilebogile, because when she started with us, just in between her studies with MinTech, and that's where I recruited them. Mm-hmm. And when she first started, she was, still a bit rough, if I may put it that way. But we spent time with them, because all designer houses, we've got our own way of manufacturing, our own style of manufacturing. So we taught them, and she's doing a great job. And I don't want to compare, but there's males that we've worked with in the past and never reached that level of fineness in terms of craftsmanship that she produces. And she's still with us. She's at school as we speak, and over the weekend they come in to work with us.
Okay. So that's a real interesting comment that you make about her capabilities, and you actually recognize her capabilities, and you're saying, okay, that's a woman's touch, so to speak, that gives you that uniqueness. And I think, you know, just to the earlier comment about, you know, who do you recruit and why do you recruit them, we need to also accept in life that skill set sometimes comes with a different profile, and sometimes if a woman has that skill set and a man doesn't, well, you do employ the woman, because that's just you need the skill set. It's not about who, what, where, how. Now, just out of interest, how how do you go about recruiting and bringing people into your business? I mean, what's your approach that you use? It's still a very new business and fairly young. How have you gone about getting your part-time people, for example, and how do you keep them? How do you stop them from going somewhere else?
Well, how I recruit them, I go to colleges, mm-hmm. such as the one I went to. I studied in, and I let them know. And then they come through and do a selection test. And from that selection, they land themselves a spot as a part-time worker in a workshop.
Okay, so you have a recruitment process that includes an assessment.
Yes, because you need to remember, we cannot afford to make too much mistakes. And I'm not a school, if I may put it that way. So if one damages, for example, a gemstone for 200 rand, you can't do it 3-4 times, you know. That's already like 1,000 rand. So I have to be very strict as to, I pay attention to how you handle your tools. We pay attention to how you work, you know, your work ethic, yeah, your discipline. Because when you're sitting in your working station, that it tells me a whole story about who you are and if you are capable of producing the work. Because you remember, you're working with very fine mm-hmm. articles. And then I can't really keep them, because at the end of the day, NQ has just become like a bridge between going past and going to work for big companies such as Browns and things like that. Many guys have come and they've left, and most of them are doing exceptionally well. And I cannot hold them, you know, because mm-hmm. NQ is still a baby, is not in a position to give them permanent employment, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because I also survive on orders, so I have to be realistic. Mm-hmm. And with that doing, my thinking is that the more you teach, the more you learn. Because as much as we're sitting there in that workshop and I'm the owner or expert of the business, there's a lot I learned from these guys. Mm. I remember I did a small pilot project at Inkatuto Primary School, where I taught kids between the age of 8 and 12 to manufacture jewelry using beads and findings. And I taught them a particular way of doing this. I said, no, this is how you do it. And one of the youngsters said to me, Nobile, come, Menira, I want to show you something. I agree. You said we must do it this way. But if I do it the other way, it's more faster. So I learned from, he showed me something that I was not aware of, but a 10-year-old showed me a different way of doing it. And I said, because how to keep peace in the class? I said, keep it to yourself, because as soon as he tells everybody, the class is going to go. no one going to listen. But yeah, the more you teach, is the more you learn. And if they want to stay with us, they're welcome. If they want to move on go for greener pastures, always give them my blessings.
Easier said than done, eh?
Now, I was going to say, I must compliment you on that approach, because I think there are so many environments where the ability to, let's call it, grow people and contribute towards their growth is not matched by a commensurate, well, and you have to stay here to make this work for me as a business person. I mean, it sounds like you've got a scenario where you give quite freely to, let's call it, an industry or a sector and a group and groups of individuals. And then when they've taken from you what they can learn and they've grown and developed, you're happy to just let them free and they go off and do what they need to do in the industry. Yeah. Now, that's pretty unique. I guess at the end of the day, yes, they are providing you with some support, but I guess most organizations want to try and hold on to that knowledge and that experience and expertise that they've fundamentally paid for. But I guess it just shows you how, let's call it, the traditional paradigm can be challenged in the space of how you recruit and retain people, and yet you seem to have got some great skills. And if I look at the workmanship and the quality of the items you're producing, and I don't even have to, what I think of it, look at what your market is doing and who's prepared to pay for your product, that tells you what the market's perception is of what you deliver. So clearly that approach and strategy is actually contributing to your business and not taking away from it. And I think many organizations, and I think that we're challenging a fallacy, we're challenging a, let's call it, a norm here, and proving that it is a fallacy, which says you have to retain your people and you can't, you know, train people and let them go.
Yeah.
Because I think you've challenged that and proved that actually you can survive on a business model And an approach like that. And I would imagine, I might be wrong, but I would imagine you've garnished yourself quite a reputation in the industry as somebody who produces people of high quality, and people would be quite happy to work with you and have and take people from you because they know the quality of people that you work with.
Yeah, because when I was in the UK, there's this particular company called the Western Beer Model in Birmingham. That's when I first time did my internships. And I remember when it's time for me to go back, to come back home, they called me in the office and they said, Ngobile, are you sure you want to go back to South Africa? And I said, yes, yes, I've got a small business there. They said, no, if you reconsider, we would like to give you a job here, you know. But I said, no, I have to go back. And you know, because I was looking forward to go back and seeing the guys that I've been working with and share what I've just seen, you know. So they allowed me to do that. And if they can do that, I'm sure as big as they are, as small as I am, I can still do the same, you know. And that's how we grow the industry. And so, after all, it's a creative industry. You teach them this, they go home, they do something different. You come back to our company 2 years from now, we'll have a completely new collection or new range. So we're always changing.
I think for me, though, the important thing is just the absolute skills transfer and the fact that you're willing to try and help and allow the creation of capability and capacity in the, let's call it, in the broader economy. I mean, you are fundamentally creating, let's call it, a training ground and a growth opportunity for the economy to grow. You take people that coming straight out of, let's call it, the jewelry schooling space, and you're giving them those practical capabilities to actually take that knowledge and actually execute on it and then move on. That's making a huge contribution towards the economy and the skill set of South Africans.
I think that's incidental, though, Richard. I mean, I wouldn't know if it's an exception. I think pretty much every business should be a learning ground, especially if you look at our legacy. You know, where we still have issues around education, exposure, access to knowledge. Even my business, ultimately, it has to be a base through which, if you're an aspiring broadcaster and so forth, you can come in.
I hear you, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't see that often. I see businesses holding on to their people with their dear lives because they don't want to go through having to train somebody new, to upskill somebody, to take the risk of bringing somebody new in. And I'm going, wow, it's a very kind of closed system view.
I mean, their time is over because again, we've talked about transformation and the exponential change that's happening. You know, where businesses have to understand that you can't hold on to talent. You know, talent is transient now, especially, you know, in the age of, you know, technology and so forth.
It's changing.
You could work anywhere. So I'll be worried if someone wants to stick around for 50 years. I mean,
but yet we talk, and I mean, it's out there. We say talent retention. I mean, those words actually exist in organizations. And you go, okay, now how do I align that with what I'm seeing here, which is talent creation, not talent retention. It's talent creation and then freeing of that talent into the wider system.
Interesting point. A bit of a contradiction there, isn't there? Nkobile, of course, finally your vision. I mean, you always just want to stay a small jewelry
Design. Well, what's next for him? I wanted to ask this. What's next for him? Obviously, transition from a hobby to a business. But what's the next big leap for NQ Jewelry?
Well, it's big. Is opening a factory. And I mean, setting up a factory and opening chain stores for retail NQ jewelry stores around South Africa first.
Have you had anyone approach you and say perhaps they want to, you know, take equity in the business, buy the business? What is your philosophy around that?
I don't have a problem as long as they understand business and they're willing to be there, you know, through good times and bad times, because sometimes it looks nice from the outside. You think, oh, nobody's making jewelry, it's nice. But it's not. Okay. So as long as they understand the business and they want to take it to the next level with us, we don't have an issue with it.
That's a business answer, right, Richard?
Exactly.
Cool. Nkobile, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with call it competition. Do you want to be the winner?
Yes, I'd like to be a winner.
So you'd like to be the top one?
Yes.
Of the five finalists.
He wants to be a winner. Yeah, I was going to say, you want to be on the judging panel next year, giving those people a hard time.
Yeah, that's Nkobile Nkosi, one of the finalists in the Tsogo Sun Entrepreneurs program. There's five of them, and I think he stands a very, very good. There's a good chance. I mean,
I said it here on Cliff Central. Here he's already on Leadership Transformation Platform. He's a winner.
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't win, we need explanations.
Congratulations on winning.
Thank you. I'd like to say thank you to the Leadership Platform, Cliff Central. And I'd like to say thank you to Tsogo Sun for the opportunity that they've presented me with.
Thank you so much. Next up, Transformation Platform. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.